Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
想知道世界一线的畅销书作家是如何做到一年读上八九十本书，而且能记住每本书的内容吗？看这个视频，你就会知道答案。
阅读、科技、旅行，生活可以很大。对话设计、学习、思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。
Hello， 你好，我是大狗熊，这里是关于学习知识和个人成长的独立知识型脱口秀《狗熊有话说》。在前段时间呢，我推荐过很多本啊，由美国的畅销书作家 Mark Manson 写过的书，包括《The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck》，还有他的续集。还有包括他的博客等等。那么这个人呢，是一个非常有趣的人啊，我想在这期节目里面呢，和大家推荐一下他的读书的一些观点和一些技巧。那么谁是 Mark Manson 呢？先来看一下他的个人的这个维基百科的页面。 Mark Manson 其实年纪很小啊，比我还年轻，1984年出生，是一个美国的作者。一开始呢是写博客为主，后面他的博客有点类似于中国的咪蒙啊，当然这个比喻可能有点不太恰当，有点类似韩寒吧，就非常的观点很犀利，然后呢角度也很新奇，而且呢这个世界观也很正，然后解决了很多情感上情绪、性格、思考方式等等这些方面的问题，那么也成为浏览量非常高的这个一线的博客。那么他出版的三本书都在纽约时报呢面临成为畅销书，那么甚至全球销量已经达到1300万册啊，非常不得了的一个数字。然后呢他的个人网站呢，大家可以在这里看到有很多的不同的一线电视台的采访，然后呢也有他的个人博客，个人的一些这个故事。那么这些呢其实并不是我想在这期节目里面分享的关键，我想主要分享一下他的关于阅读上的一些这个技巧。因为他在自己的这个视频的YouTube 视频的这个频道里面发布了一个视频，有讲他在2010年呢一年读了14本书，但是在2020年，十年之后呢，一年读了81本书，然后还把那些书全部放出来。怎么做到这一点的？那么他有5条经验在那期视频里面有分享，我想和你分享这5条经验。第一条经验，去除你脑子里的声音，也叫 cut the inner monologue。那么是我们每个人在阅读的时候呢，其实脑海里可能默认的会有一个声音在朗读，比如说当你拿起一本书在阅读上面的内容的时候，那么这本书上面写着大狗熊今天打开门，你脑子里就会有个声音，大狗熊今天打开门。那么这个习惯呢，可能是源自于我们小的时候在学校里面，或者说一开始学习阅读时候形成的一个习惯。因为一开始学习阅读我们都需要去 朗读嘛，大声的去朗读。那么这个习惯呢其实 会极大的影响我们阅读的速度，因为你的速度会很慢呀，对吧？你的这个声音讲话的频率会很慢，那么尽量去去除这个声音，也就是去除大脑里这样的一个 vertical 的这样的一个 verbal 这样的一个习惯，就是出声的朗读的习惯，而需要去 visual， 尽量用视觉的方式去捕捉那些关键词、重要词，那样你就可以读得很快。那么另外一个技巧呢，是使用第二个经验啊 ，tip 二 ，read with your finger。是用手指去辅助阅读，这个呢听起来会特别的奇怪啊。比如我现在拿一本书，当你拿到一本书打开以后呢，上面啊有文字，那么比较看起来像老头在阅读的方式，就是你会去一行一行的去用手指去辅助自己去阅读。这个习惯其实能够极大的帮助我们提高阅读速度。为什么呢？因为人的眼睛去看东西的时候呢，其实并不是线性的去看，而是跳跃性的，就是从一个地方跳到一个地方，再跳到一个地方，那不停的去跳跃。那么很多时候呢，因为我们不由自主的控制不了你的视线，偶尔你的视线呢会移动到前面去看你没有阅读过的内容，那么或者说跳到后面去看你没有阅读过的内容，或者跳到前面去看一些你已经阅读过的内容，也就是你会重复在这个上面花时间。那么通过这种方式，通过用手指的方式呢，其实可以给你的视线提供一个辅助，提供一个引导，那么让你的视线知道接下来该看什么地方。而且呢，后面你可以慢慢的有意识的去提高你手指的移动的速度，这样的话呢可以提升你的阅读速度。当然这个数字我不知道可以怎么去测量，最好的办法就是你先阅读一篇文章，看花多少时间能够读完，然后呢使用这个习惯练习一段时间再去测试，那么可能你就会发现，哎，我的阅读速度提高了20%，很棒。那么这个是他的第二个经验。第三个经验， Stop reading shit you don't like， 就是如果你不喜欢某本书啊，不要强迫自己去读完。这个习惯其实以前我也有，就是我很多时候打开一本书呢，会觉得我应该把它从头读到尾，哪怕我觉得这本书有点枯燥，有点不太喜欢。但这个习惯也许是同样因为学校教育的影响。那么这个习惯我觉得对于阅读非虚构类的书籍特别重要，因为非虚构类的书籍其实在阅读的时候你完全不需要从第一页读到最后一页，你可以各取所需。很多非虚构类书籍呢其实都是有一个关键概念，然后把这个概念呢延伸出来。比如说马尔科姆·格拉德威尔的这个别和陌生人说话，那么就是讲人和陌生人交流会非常的困难啊，因为我们人类的这个沟通形式、沟通方式、语言背景、文化。那么整本书就是用很多案例去讲述这个概念。那么如果你对其中某一些案例不太感兴趣，比如说一些犯罪的案例啊什么，你不太感兴趣，你完全可以跳过啊。那么这是阅读非虚构类书籍特别容易产生的一个问题。那么如果你能够活用这一点，不想读的你就跳过的话，那么其实你可以提升自己的，很大程度提升自己的阅读速度。当然也不是说直接拿开看第一眼然后就做出不读的这个判断。最好的方法呢，就是马克他自己的方法呢是会用10%的内容作为一个试错式的这个阅读。比如说假设这本书有200页，那么你先读20页，如果读完这20页发现一点感觉都没有，完全不想继续读下去，然后一点兴趣都没有， OK stop， 打住。但是如果你觉得这本书哇很有意思，然后或者说对我来说帮助很大，哪怕现在暂时感觉有点枯燥，或者不是能够读太懂，但还是觉得很不错， OK， 那么就继续把这剩下的部分读完。好的，那么第四个经验把阅读加入你的日程表， schedule your reading time。 那么这个经验呢也是我之前在做高效阅读的时候的课程的一个核心。那么你要提升整体的阅读量啊，去提升这个阅读速度呀，或者是提升这个 输出的效果啊，这些都是辅助的，最关键的是可持续性。也就是说，如果你能保证每天阅读固定的时间，形成这样的一个习惯，那么不用去做什么阅读速度上的训练，你也可以达到很好的这个阅读的收获。比如说每天你只要有30分钟的时间，一天读完15页书，大概20天就可以读完一本书，一年就可以读完20本书了。很多人可能一年现在只能读2本书，那么已经算是一个巨大的收获。但如果你再用我们刚刚说的这个跳过呀，或者是这个用手指辅助提高阅读速度的方法，可能一年就能读完30本、40本书。第五个经验，同时阅读多本书， Read more than one book at a time。 那么这个技巧其实是我以前一直不太习惯去用的。以前我也是打开一本书就先把这本书读完再去读下一本书，但我们在阅读的时候会经常有 ups and downs，就是你会状态很好的时候或者状态很不好的时候。那么有的时候你会兴趣来了，可能可以把这个概念很好的消化，就进展得很快。那么同时阅读多本书有一个好处，就是你可以在读这本书的碰到这个瓶颈的时候呢，就换到另外一本书。那马克呀，他自己是同时一次阅读三本书，一般他是这样子他会先阅读一本比较艰深的比较专业类的这个书籍，比如哲学类的书籍，然后呢会同时读一本非虚构类书籍，就是属于那种比较实用比如说像什么人类简史之类的然后呢另外呢再去读一本小说或者是这个轻松一点的这个文字，那么它作为 fun read， 就是有趣的这个阅读。那么当精神状态好的时候，或者觉得这个精力很充沛的时候呢，就去阅读那本专业类的艰深的书籍。那么消耗了一定的这个你的精力意志力之后想要轻松的时候，比如说晚上睡觉前，哎呀实在啃不动那个哲学书籍了，就拿起轻松的小说去阅读，效果呢就会同时能够保证多线程同时运行。但一次呢，还是当你每次在阅读的时候只在阅读那一本书，那这样的话呢也可以保证你的这个进度呢是多样化的。那么这是他的五条建议。最后我想和大家分享一下马克在这个视频里面呢提到了另外一个很有趣的观点，就是如何去记住你阅读的书。对于这个问题啊，他提出了一个非常偏激但是又很有道理的观点。他认为所有的这个读书笔记和标注这些都是屁，都没有用。因为这种方式呢，就是像做标注呀、读书笔记啊，这些都是来自于学校，那么只是让我们有一种掌握了书中内容的幻觉。但真正你能够使用这个书中的涉及到的知识或者技巧运用到你的生活中吗？不一定，可能完全做不到。所以他的技巧呢，他的建议呢，就是说你要知道同样以后你要用到相应的这些知识和技巧你上哪儿可以找得到。也就是说你要记住这本书大概的主题和方向，然后在以后你真正需要用到相应的这个知识和技巧的时候呢，你能够知道我上哪儿去找。那么在那个时候你花上两三分钟把那本书打开，然后重新找到那个相应的章节， OK， 那么就可以用到了。那么比如说有点类似像阅读一本菜谱，那么当你读完这本菜谱的知道里面有哪几个菜是你喜欢的之后呢，你当具体要做菜的时候就去找到它。但如果是面对一些抽象的这个书籍，抽象的领域怎么办？比如说哲学怎么去用都是一些高大上的空的东西。那么他认为啊，就是说像这种所谓的抽象概念其实也可以去运用。比如说你学会了一种你阅读了一种思维方式，一种思考方式比如说哲学应该怎么怎么虚无主义，那么下次在碰到一些问题的时候，你就尝试说我能不能用这个思维方式去思考这个问题。比如说我能不能带着虚无主义的眼光去思考这个具体的案例，这个具体的我在面临的这个问题。那么其实这也是一种去运用的方式。因为我们人的大脑呢天生会记住我们在运用的东西，我们在运用的知识和技能。那么如果你用这样的一个视角去思考， 也运用了一定程度上的你的意志力，你的脑力，所以呢算是这个运用。还有一种运用方式呢，就是去谈论，比如说在吃饭的时候，在闲聊的时候和别人说，哎，我最近阅读了一本书，它关于什么什么内容特别好。那么其实这种也是一种运用。而且人呢有一个习惯，就是说别人在讲，你大脑潜意识会觉得重要，然后你和别人讲的话，你的大脑也会觉得我现在要和别人交流和表达，所以很重要。那么你大脑会运用更多的这个脑力去运行这个相应的这个知识，那么更大可能呢你会记住相应的内容。 OK， 这就是这一期播客讲述了美国畅销书作家 Mark Manson 他的阅读的技巧，希望你喜欢。在这期视频中文结束之后呢，我会放这个 Mark Manson 的原版视频的英文录音，那么大家也可以去收听知道他的这个就是他的具体的这些方法。当然如果你对狗熊有话说的其他内容感兴趣，记得订阅我的播客去收听，或者呢别忘了订阅我的这个 YouTube 视频狗熊有话说 Bear Talk， 也有相应更精彩的内容。感谢您的收看和收听，我们下期节目再见，拜拜。
These are all the books that I read in 2010, 10 years ago. That's 14 books. Not too bad. But these are the books I read in 2020. Shit. That's 81 books. Watch this video and you get 5 tips on how to read more books each year and how to remember what the fuck you read.What's up, everybody? Mark Manson here. You know, Harry S. Truman once said that not all readers are leaders, but all leaders read. There's a reason that reading has been around for 5,000 years. It fucking works. It makes you smarter, makes you more empathetic, makes you more self-aware, entertains the shit out of you. I mean, what else could you want? Reading is one of those things that everybody seems to wish they did more.If you don't read any books, you wish you read a few. If you read a few books, you wish you read a lot. And if you read a lot, then you're really aware of all the cool stuff that you don't have time to read. Since my job is to just read stuff all day and then regurgitate it to people with poop jokes and F-bombs, I figured that I would sit down and go through some of the biggest things that have helped me become a better reader over the years and help you read more books and read better books. And at the end of the video, I'm going to talk about how you can remember more of what you read. And you'll be surprised. It has nothing to do with a highlighter or taking notes. All right, so tip number one, cut the inner monologue.This is probably something you don't even realize that you do. Most people don't. But when you read, there's that little voice inside your head talking out each and every word to you. For instance, you might read, "The man turned and deceptively smiled, acknowledging the expectations upon him, even though he had no intention of fulfilling them."The reason you read these words aloud to yourself in your own head is because that's how you learn to read. When we're little snot-nosed kids, we're taught to sound out each and every syllable and each and every word. And so we develop this mental habit of enunciating every single sound in our minds as we read. Now there's a problem with this. It's fucking slow, and you don't need to do it.I don't need to sound out deceptively to know what deceptively means. I'm fucking 36 years old. I know what deceptively means. What's incredible is that you can quickly train yourself to turn off your inner monologue. Try it. Try reading something without sounding out the words in your head. You'll find that your eyes can actually move much quicker than the little voice in your head can move. Now, this is weird at first, and of course it takes practice, but as you get better at it, you will naturally find your reading ability to speed up. Tip number two, read with your finger. Now, this one sounds weird, and you're gonna feel like a doofus sitting there with your computer screen moving your finger back and forth, but it's surprising how much it helps. Now, the reason for this is that our eyes are actually not completely stable. Now, when we read text that's in front of us, our eyes kind of naturally jump around, and it takes mental effort to keep our eyes focused on each line. This is why a lot of times when you're reading, you lose your spot. You forget which line you're on. You read the same line twice. Sometimes you read a line and your brain will insert the word from below into the sentence that you're reading. It's because our eyes do not move perfectly horizontally. But if you put your finger below know the words as you read, it gives your eyes something to focus on and move with, and it stabilizes them. And surprisingly, this makes you read quicker. In fact, a lot of people, just by using their finger to scan the text, can improve their reading speed by up to, I don't know, 20-30%. I just made that number up, but it's a lot. You'll notice when you try it. Using your finger to scan as you read, it works for everything. You can use it with a book, you can use it on an iPad, you can use it on a computer screen. Yeah, it feels weird, but it helps. All right, tip number three, this one's just a little bit more meta and practical. Stop reading shit you don't like. It's amazing to me, I run across this all the time, but people have this idea with books that if you start a book, you have to finish every single page or else you're a fucking loser, an idiot, and a failure. I don't understand why people have this attitude. You don't keep watching movies you don't like. You don't keep watching TV shows you don't like. You skip YouTube videos that are boring. Why do you force yourself to read a book that's not good? It makes no sense. Again, I think some of this comes back to our schooling. In school, you are graded based on how much of the book you read. To get a good grade, you have to read all the book. Life does not work that way. Take it from a nonfiction author, most nonfiction books are full of crap. The average nonfiction book has 2, maybe 3 useful chapters in it. Most nonfiction books are glorified blog posts, repeated over and over and over for 200 pages. If I'm reading chapter 1 and I get the idea, and then I get to chapter 2, and the author is basically just restating the idea from chapter 1 in a different way, I fucking skip chapter 2, I go to chapter 3. And then if chapter 3 is repeating the same idea in another way, I skip that one too. In fact, most books, if I realize that they aren't dense with valuable information, I just go straight to the table of contents and I ask myself, which chapters look interesting? Oh, chapter 1, 3, 7, and 14. Okay, I'll read those. And then if I read those and they're great, maybe I'll go back and look at another chapter or find something else to read. But if not, that's fine. I'd say half of the books that I end up reading, I probably read half of the text in them, maybe less. And you shouldn't feel bad about this. The point of reading is to serve you, not for you to serve the book. Similarly, if a book is just bad, fucking put it down. Move on to the next one. I have a personal rule. I always read at least 10% of a book before I decide whether to put it down or not. If it's a 200-page book, I give it 20 pages. But if I hit 20 pages and I'm not into it, I look at the table of contents, nothing looks interesting, I put it away. I'd say for every 2 books that I buy and I read, there's 1 book that I buy and I end up not reading because I just don't really like it. And I don't feel guilty about that. Finally, what you'll find when you start reading more and more is that a lot of nonfiction stuff repeats itself. So at this point, I've probably read like 100 psychology books. And what you discover is that there are maybe half a dozen seminal studies in the field of psychology, major, major breakthroughs in the field that get repeated all the time. If I have to read about the fucking marshmallow test one more time, done by Walter Mischel in 1972, I'll fucking gag. So when I'm reading a book and I come across, oh, it's the marshmallow test, skip 5 pages, go on to the next thing. You'll find all the time that authors use similar anecdotes, they use similar examples, they use similar stories. And when you keep running into these things over and over again, just skip them. You already know what's in them, so why read it again? For some reason, out of these 5 tips that I always give, this one is the most surprising and most difficult for people. I don't understand why people have so much emotional attachment or judgment based on how many words in a book that they read. For nonfiction, if you're reading every single word of every single book, you're doing it wrong. Now for fiction, it's a completely different story. No pun intended. If a fiction book's good, you read every word. If a fiction book's bad, you fucking stop and put it away. All right, tip number 4, schedule your reading time. Now, everybody I talk to who wants to read more, they all say the same thing. But Mark, I'm so busy. I don't have enough time. You should see my schedule. It's no excuse. Reading is the easiest, most transportable hobby or interest or activity that ever. It's so fucking easy. You can read on your commutes in the morning or listen to an audiobook. You can read on your lunch breaks. I always have an article or a book to read while I'm eating lunch. I often take a book to the gym and read in between sets or even during sets. Hell, if the books you're reading are big enough, you can do sets with the books. Hell, sometimes I keep a book in the bathroom so I can read while I take a shit. I play a little game with myself. I try to read more pages than I have flushes. I call it poop for pages. That might be the stupidest thing I've ever said on camera. And this doesn't even get into scheduling time in your day. Even without scheduling anything, I can easily find at least 30 minutes a day to read. And then if you schedule time on top of that, it's an easy 60 minutes, at least. And this is what people don't understand. Like, people see that I read all these books and they think I'm like superhuman or something. I'm not superhuman. My reading speed isn't that much above the average reading speed. The trick is consistency. The average person can read a page in roughly about 2 minutes. So if you read 60 minutes per day, that's 30 pages a day. And if you figure the average book is about 300 pages, well, now you're reading a book every 10 days, or 37 books per year. But if you're being smart and you're putting away shitty books and you're skipping shitty chapters, then you're gonna end up reading way more than that. You're gonna end up reading like 40 or 50 books a year. And that's just by dedicating an hour a day. All right, and tip number 5, read more than one book at a time. This is another one that people have a lot of weird beliefs about, like the idea that reading 2 books at the same time is twice as mentally challenging as reading 1 book at a time. It's not. Actually, it's easier than reading only 1 book. Why? Because when you get sick of that first book, you just move to the second one and it feels exciting and new again. And then when you get sick of the second one, you go back to the first one. I actually find it much easier to sustain my attention and excitement for both books if I'm able to jump back and forth between them. I generally try to read 3 books at any given time, and I divide them up into 3 categories in my head. I have kind of the philosophically and technically challenging book. I have just a general nonfiction educational book. Then I have like a light fiction or a biography or something like that. I see it as like my fun book. Sometimes if the philosophical book is very challenging and requires a lot of mental effort, I'll schedule time in my day to actually sit down and read that philosophical book. If I'm reading a novel and it's really fucking good, sometimes I'll just screw the whole morning and read my novel. Sometimes I just get sick of one of my books and I set it down for a week or two. Then I come back when I'm more mentally refreshed. All right, so we've got some basic tips on how to read quicker and more efficiently. We've got tips on how to be ruthless in your book selection, and also how to be more practical in terms of finding time during the day to read. Now let's talk about remembering what you read, because one of the most common questions I get from people is, what is your note-taking system? How do you remember all this stuff? How do you know where you saw what study? People like to assume that I've got this like massive database of notes with like a supercomputer linking like 800 different concepts and ideas with sources and citations. No, I don't use any of that stuff. In fact, I use almost nothing. And this actually, let's call this the harsh truth of the day. The harsh truth of the day is that highlighting and note-taking is basically worthless. This upsets a lot of people. And again, I don't fucking know why. Why would you want to highlight a book? Like that sounds really annoying. Again, this comes from school. In school, the reason you thought highlighting is important or note-taking is important is because you were tested on what you read. People mistake the highlighting for memory. Studies have consistently shown highlighting, underlining, notes in the margin, this has no effect in your retention. The only point of doing it was so that when you went back and studied for the test, you knew what to look at. Now, some people say, well, you can do the same thing with books you read for fun. You can highlight all the cool parts, and then a month later, you go back and you check all the parts you highlighted so you can remember. Well, that sounds fucking awful, because now you're just doing school in like real life. Why would you do that? Here's the thing about human memory. We remember things that we use. If I read a book on nutrition, the way I'm gonna remember what I read is by actually changing what I eat and paying attention to what I eat. If I just highlight the whole nutrition book and then I eat the same garbage I always eat, I'm not going to remember anything. Basically, we remember what's useful. If you don't find ways to implement the ideas you read into your life in some way, you're not going to remember them. And you're going to have this feeling of like, wow, I read all these books and I have no idea what's in them. Yeah, because you didn't fucking do anything. Ultimately, the only reason to read nonfiction is to change your life in some way, is to become smarter in some way, to improve yourself in some way. Now, here's the thing. A lot of books, it's kind of hard to use what you read. I mean, even in my own books, it's about concepts and principles. You know, it's not like, oh, go out and do XYZ and then you'll make $1 million. Like, there's none of that stuff in it. So this idea of like using stuff that you read, it's actually kind of a nebulous, abstract thing. I can read a principle and my using it can simply be having a different perspective on an area of my life than I had before. For example, when I read Kant's Moral Philosophy, I found his ethical principles to be very profound, and I was able to see how they apply to a lot of my beliefs about people and relationships and ethics in general. And so a lot of times using something we've read, it just happens in our mind, but still we have to make that mental effort. We have to go through that process of saying, okay, I read this, how does this apply to my own life? Now, if you are really dead set on like having a hack to remember the stuff you read, there are ways to kind of trick your brain into thinking that you are using the stuff you read so that you remember it better. One of them is to simply talk about the ideas to somebody else. So you read a really cool book about neuroscience, go find a friend or somebody else who's willing to be bored to tears and describe to them what you just read. The human mind remembers what's useful, and generally, humans tend to see social interactions as the most useful and important things that happen in our lives. So when you tell somebody else about an idea, your brain is subconsciously saying, oh, this must be really important. Now, the last thing I'm gonna say about remembering stuff is that you don't have to remember every idea from every book you've read. You only have to remember what ideas are in every book that you've read. So, speaking of neuroscience, there's this famous neuroscientist named Antonio Damasio. I've read two of his books. I couldn't explain off the top of my head exactly what's in his books. I'm not a neuroscientist. It's not my area of expertise. It's not a piece of knowledge I use frequently, but I remember the arguments in those books, and so I know where to look if I need to find those neuroscience arguments again. So the importance is not necessarily remembering everything you read, it's remembering where you read it. Because when you need something, you can just go grab the book off the shelf and find it. It takes 2 minutes, I do it all the time. 90% of the stuff in my articles and books, it's because I grab shit off the shelf and I went looking for it. I'm like, oh yeah, there is that thing. There is that experiment. Let me write about that. The only reason to try to obsessively remember every single thing you read is if you want to impress people at parties. And let's be honest, who the fuck wants to impress people at parties? All right, that's a wrap. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. I'm gonna have a lot more practical life tips coming out. And you know, if you're really ballsy, post in the comments how many books you have read this year and how many you wish you could read. I think you'll actually be surprised how easy it is to bridge that gap. Until next time, Manson out.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.